1240 AM WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yes.
This show is presented to you, folks, by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. That's in Beverly and in Bridgeport here in Chicagoland. Two locations.
Oh, yeah.
Fox's Beverly Pizza.
You bet.
Best thin crust pizza on the south side of Chicago.
Oh, I heard.
Flood Brothers Disposal.
Yep.
Best garbage men in the world. You got a garbage problem, call them here in Chicago.
Yep.
And the International Association of Firefighters Local Union 2.
Say it slow.
IAFF 2. The great firemen of Chicago.
Yeah, baby.
Union. Thank you. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always to my left is my twin brother, Billy.
How are you?
Hi, Bill. And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hello.
I hate the Packers.
Do you?
Yeah. More.
Yeah.
More than you have?
Your blowout predictions, guys, were a little off.
Yeah, you were the closest.
I was there.
I don't even
game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Oh, wow. I wish you would have somehow been able to punch Aaron Rodgers in the eye.
Yeah, me too. This was incredible when you watch him in person,
now
too.
Now he's talking smack. You hear this?
Wouldn't you?
I own you.
He does.
I effing.
He's 11-1 at Soldiers Field. 11-1.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
He obviously knows something we don't know.
They should just fold up and go.
I mean, I could see how Bears alumni and the organization is upset at a statement like that. But you know what? He's going to the Hall of Fame.
They're like,
he's only got one Super Bowl. I don't care.
For our international listeners, the Bears played the Packers here in Chicago last week. And once again, the Bears lost to Aaron Rodgers. And that's where Billy Packer comes in to my left here tonight. First Packers game for you, Bill.
First Bears-Packers game. And I was like, you know what? I don't know if I'll ever have this opportunity ever again.
Nah.
And a friend of mine reached out to me.
Wait a second. Stop for a moment. Go back to that statement. Yeah, you make it sound like it's going to Disney World.
I'm 41 years old. I've never been to one.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get this to happen again.
Yeah, why can't you go again? Are you going to Mars?
Because I'm not going to purchase season tickets. I'm not a wealthy person.
Yeah, but
you might
just somehow go.
I could, but the opportunity has never been brought forth to me already in 41 years. So the odds of it happening again, I don't know. What am I going to live to? I'm 90, 80.
It happens every year,
though. If I live till I'm 82, it's a 50-50 chance it happens again now.
It's not like seeing Pink Floyd in Wembley.
Billy Odds is here.
Yeah.
First Billy Packer, now it's Billy Odds.
Wow.
I'm sure there's a Billy Odds on the radio somewhere in Vegas. I'm Billy Odds. The over-under on tonight's Buffalo game is 49. Oh,
he only bets on events that people may or may not go to during their lifetime.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Chances you'll see the Boston Red Sox play at Fenway? I don't know. Right. You're going to live till you're 79, so if you go once in the next 30 years.
Yeah. What are the odds my neighbor ever attends Wimbledon? You know? How many vacations have they been on in the last 60 years? Divide that by how many tennis shirts and gear they might have in the house.
Let's think about it this, guys. Could be the last time I'd ever get an opportunity to see the Bears and Packers at Soldier Field.
Oh, okay, fair enough,
all right.
Billy.
Fair enough.
So
altered statement.
Yeah.
Tell me about the game.
I almost got kicked out at halftime for having a heater.
They don't like cigarette smoking?
No. So, like, you're allowed
to
go out.
How blatant were you?
I wasn't blatant at all.
Did you try and hide it?
Oh, I had it cupped.
Did you go in the bathroom?
No. We were outside.
At your seat?
No. Like, I walked out, and you walk out to, like, the first colonnade level.
Yeah.
It's like an outdoor area where people are hanging around. There's people hitting, like, their vape pens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Taking off my COVID mask to have a smoke.
If they're vape pens, I don't know.
Could be the
other stuff,
sure,
too.
Sure, right.
Mm-hmm. But they're all walking around. Everyone's commiserating, getting, you know, drinking, talking.
Yep.
And, I don't know, me and my buddy, we were both like, can we do it? Mm-hmm. We saw like five other guys doing it.
Of course.
We're like, okay, they're not policing it.
Right.
You know, we fire up.
Who confronted
you? We were fine. I got confronted on the second.
Put that square out.
On the second heater, not the first. I was like, it's a very comfortable setting here. Let's have another.
Oh, you got to go back to back?
I did go back to back. I got caught on the second one.
That's how Bears fan of you. I'm going to go outside and have two heaters, and then I'll be back to my seat.
You two in your mouth at once.
Right.
So I have it.
With a pole of sausage in your left hand.
In the middle.
And I get this, we're leaning over, like, looking out.
Looks like a deranged walrus.
So,
deranged Bear fan walrus.
We're leaning.
Couple of heaters in the corner of his mouth.
We're looking over the colonnade outside the stadium.
Yes.
Go on, Billy.
Like, we're not facing anyone. So
Billy's
I get this tap on my shoulder, and, like, turn around. And it's this gentleman probably like in his mid-60s.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably been doing security for 30 years.
Yep.
There, you know,
and
he's
Boston Smokers.
He's
for
sick
30
of it.
Years.
He's sick of it, right? So he just taps me and he's like, "You, that's it. You're out." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "The cigarette. You're out." And I was like, "You didn't even give me a warning." He's like, "I don't have to. You're out."
And you should have said, "Do you smoke?"
I'm like, "Okay, fine." So me and my buddy, I'm like, "Unbelievable." I go to the Bears pack. I'm getting kicked out at halftime for smoking a heater, right? Mm. So I walk down and like he's pointing to like where we have to walk, right?
Yeah.
So the security people that are like standing near the stairwell, they don't see him like pointing. I'm just making sure that we walk past these people so that guy sees us walk out and he thinks we're out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Right.
You're trying to pull a scam.
So we're like, we start walking down these stairs. We pass these.
Can we have some dodging security music?
We're passing these two people. Like the
running
two security
smokers.
Guards.
Mission Impossible theme, possibly? Yeah.
And they were almost like Andy Frame type ushers.
You know, sorry?
Like, they were like Andy Frame. They weren't like security kind of like
they said Andy Dufresne.
No. Like an Andy Frame.
Yeah, there were like 100 Tim
Robbins. Run for it, Bill!
hundreds of Tim Robbins in prison uniforms policing the stadium that afternoon. They were the Andy Dufresne guys.
The guy looked exactly like Tim Robbins.
So, anyways, I'm like.
All right, so you're making it down the
ramp. So I see them, and then my. I guess my juvenile delinquent instincts start taking into
effect. While you were walking away, were you considering lighting a third cigarette?
No. I was going to absolutely have one if we were not getting back into the stadium. That was for sure.
Oh, look at Billy sneaking around soldier.
So the guy's like, get out. And I'm walking down, and I got my buddy with me, and I'm like, just comply. Because the guy's like, I want your season tickets. I'm going to take your season tickets away.
Oh, he said all this?
Yeah, my buddy's got season tickets.
Oh,
he's like, if you guys
God.
Don't comply, I'll find out where your season tickets are.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, I don't want my buddy to lose his tickets.
Yeah.
So we walk out, and we're like halfway down this stairwell.
Yep.
And I look up, and I see the guy walk. And he's walking south down the colonnade, past the stairwell where I just walked down. I'm like, give it like a minute.
Yeah.
You know? And then another guy comes walking down. And I go, here's where we turn into acting mode. Excuse me, sir. We just stepped out for a second. We're from out of state. We've never been here before, but we just heard. Can we not get back in? He goes, oh, no problem. I'll get you guys back in. He waves back over to the ushers, points to us, and go, back in. Scoot. We ran up the stairs, shot right in, enjoyed the second half of the Bears game.
Oh,
it's a Bears-Packers con story, folks. Yeah.
I took my hat off, though. My buddy's like, take your hat off.
You would have been better off leaving the way they played. You should have just left and saw a movie with your buddy.
Yeah. What movie would they go see?
Brian's Song?
Casablanca.
Yeah. Hey, forget it. I know we just got kicked out, but Casablanca's playing over at the Siskel right now. You want to go hit it for a little while?
No.
Here's looking at you, kid.
I got two polo sausages in my coat.
Yeah.
I'll give you one.
But we weren't, like, drunk or anything. That's why
sure.
I was like,
sure, Billy.
Come on. I'm not being combative. I'm not yelling. I'm not acting, you know, just taking a couple puffs here. Just
yeah,
a smoker.
You should have said, sir, have you ever had a cigarette in your life? Do you know that I need this?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to kill him in the Packer fan in front of me if you don't allow me to
have it. I'm very stressed out. This whole thing's going south.
Right.
You know?
No, there is not a smoking area that we were aware of, Mike.
Oh, like, if there was a smoking area, it would be jam-packed.
My buddy thought that where we were at was considered like a smoking area. That's why he didn't like
they
really.
They do have one outside of the United Center. It's like
they
a,
do,
a pen.
And my neighbor
it's
went
like
to
for
the
animals.
My,
like, my
neighbor,
petting zoo.
My
yeah,
neighbor
exactly.
Went,
petting zoo for smokers,
right? Smokers' pen is over there.
My neighbor went to the.
It's a couple of the
Hawks
cans.
They don't have it anymore because of COVID.
Oh yeah, makes
he went
sense.
To the Hawks game the other night, and he's like, me and
they took down
my
the
son and his
pen.
Ex-wife. He's like, we all were there, and he's like, my ex-wife and I are still smoking. So, like, we went downstairs to go have a cigarette, and they're like, no.
You know, one time I went to a Milwaukee Brewers game.
Hey, how are things with you and the ex-wife? We're still smoking.
I went to.
We don't see each other much, but we get together for holidays. We're good to the kids. We're still smoking.
A similar story to yours, Bill. But yeah. Mine
we're getting
way
through
worse.
It. That's the truth for a lot of people.
You know, we're getting through it. We're still smoking.
I went to a Brewers game once. I was holding a beer.
Smoking is the only thing they like about each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It keeps us civil.
Security came out to me and was like,
I remember because I was
you
sitting
21 and I'm like, no. Yep. And he's like, come with me.
Yeah.
And he started walking me to some office somewhere. And then they did a search. I had a little grass on me.
Yeah.
And he took me to jail, the Milwaukee County Stadium.
I remember
holding cell, like underneath the stadium, where I could hear like the roars of the crowd.
Yeah, I remember
for nine innings.
I remember being at a bar at Marquette, and one of our buddies walking in, going, "O'Brien got arrested."
Yeah.
Are the walls
again?
Were the walls padded at County Stadium?
No.
I've heard that Wrigley has a holding tank where the walls are padded because the guys are just blacked out, hammered, and they'll just start ramming themselves into the wall and screaming and yelling before they get asked to leave.
Even before they're taken over to the local police district?
Correct, yeah. Before they're transported.
It was rough. It was not a good way to spend my Sunday afternoon.
No, but I know a spot that is a good place to spend a Sunday
Where's
afternoon.
Where's that?
Always. You can watch football games there, Bears games.
You're better off.
They got a smoking section, too, outside. You can go smoke.
By the way, the one in Bridgeport that we're about to mention, October 29th is their Halloween party. There's going to be a DJ and everything.
Check it out. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, folks. That's the spot I'm speaking of. This show is presented by it. More Hoolies after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by to Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the Southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Now, I'm a feller with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told. The kind of a feller that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, it ain't cause that I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they hinder your health. I've smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same at a petting party or a poker game. Everything's got to stop while they have that cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hates to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette.
Yes, you do.
Oh, man.
Smoke that
cigarette. Tex Williams, 1947.
Thank you, Mike.
What a bump.
Love that bump.
Yeah, both of you gotta quit smoking.
Absolutely. Yes, but you know what? Quit smoking, but still, smoker's rights, man.
Here's what you do. You quit smoking, but still smoke.
Right. I'm a listen. Just because
I quit.
I'm the head of the
Quitters but not quitting association.
Exactly. You know? I'm the head of the International Association of Smokers' Rights. I'm the executive director. No, I don't smoke anymore, no.
I'm sure there is a smokers' rights group out there.
Is there?
Absolutely.
I wonder if they'd be interested in donating to the program. We are a 501c3.
Donating what?
Right. Where did you get most of your funding? The International Association of Smokers' Rights funded the program for the last 15 years.
Can we talk about Glenn Lerner for a minute?
Yeah, sure. 222-22, the attorney Glenn Lerner?
Yeah. So, you know, he used to be a solo act for many years.
Then he brought on Roe.
He brought on Roe.
Yeah, that's right.
His bench pressing partner.
Yes. Yeah.
And now they have a third person.
Oh.
Yes.
A woman?
No.
No. The one and only Flavor Flav.
Wait. Flavor Flav is not an attorney. Flavor Flav Esquire?
He's a doctor. Flavor Flav is in there doing commercials with them.
Well, of course he is. He's picking up a buck.
He is. In a related story,
yeah.
Flavor Flav was arrested for domestic assault today.
Oh, no. Today?
Oh.
Oh, no.
I think it was like 2 days ago.
Flav has a good side to him.
He does, sure.
I don't, you know, people have problems. Would remember Flavor of Love, the TV show that he
was
did?
Very popular. Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, he likes to be in the spotlight.
And but he married the Russian's wife.
Who was the Russian?
Bridget Nielsen. Was involved Drago's with Flavor Flav.
Oh, the Russian's wife.
She was also married to Mark Gastineau in real life, I believe.
Oh, sure. Not to be confused with Mark Paul
Gosselaar.
Yeah.
Bridget, no. We went from Flavor Flav to Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Mark Gastineau was the famous New York Jet that was, you know, didn't he try to box and get his butt kicked?
Yeah, he got knocked cold by somebody.
Of course.
Back to Flavor Flav. Yes, Flavor Flav was married to Bridget Nielsen.
Did you say Brigitte?
Yes, isn't that how it's pronounced?
Sure.
Brigitte, is it Brigitte or Brigitte? Brigitte it is.
Flav, is it Flav right. or Flav?
Oh, it's Brigitte? I think we were going to have
is
some of that
Flav
for dinner
tonight.
Is it Flav or Flav?
Right. Is it Flav or Flav, Brigitte or Brigitte, before we start the interrogation?
Yeah.
It's Brigitte, yes.
Polite.
Right.
Los Angeles detective.
Right. You know, my mom used to cook a great Brigitte when I was about 17. Where were you both last evening at 7:30 p.m.?
So maybe that was Flav's plan all along, is to get in tight with the two attorneys and then
get in trouble, get all
case.
The press involved, and now Lerner and Rowe are just going to explode all over the place.
They're already exploding.
Are they national?
I don't know.
Isn't it amazing that these are the stars of our generation?
They're not stars.
They're technically celebrities. I would call him a celebrity attorney.
Glenn Lerner?
I mean, the funny thing is people are like—
Has he ever thrown out the first pitch anywhere?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think he may have played baseball.
And he's not
though.
A celebrity.
We can dig deep into Lerner.
We have before.
His father was a hitman for Raymond Patriarchy, then the crime family of Rhode Island.
The Providence Mafia.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lerner. Well, he's actually. I noticed there was a disclaimer at the bottom of the commercial that said not allowed to practice law in Illinois.
Interesting. Oh, really?
Yeah. Only in Las Vegas.
Well, I don't want Lerner getting sicked on me for something. You
what
know?
If you had Lerner and Dog after you? You'd be in deep trouble.
Yeah. Oof. You know, I'm a little stressed out. I got Lerner and Dog coming after me.
Knocking
right
at
now.
My door.
Okay.
Speaking of knocking at doors.
That's Dog the Bounty Hunter, listeners.
Yeah. Billy had something happen to him.
You know, we had talked about this, like, last I think week. It was last week we talked about this. And then Patty had even mentioned that Sebastian Maniscalco had done a bit on it. We all know what we're going to do here. The knock at the door now instead of
the
someone.
Unexpected knock.
Or the ring on the doorbell. It's
sure.
Like, who is it?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, everyone jumps up. Well, Patty came over to my house the other night.
Okay.
And actually, he comes over. I'm like already like getting ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he's got a key to my place. He's like, Bill? He comes inside. I'm like, oh, what's this guy want? I want to go to bed.
Putting on his silk pajamas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was in Rothstein mode. He had a bowl of candy in bed with him while he was watching TV.
Sort of candies.
With some pajama bottoms on, you know, and a t-shirt. And he's like, what do you want?
Ashtray on his head?
Yeah, an ashtray on the corner.
No, I don't smoke in my place.
No, he doesn't smoke in his place.
Oh, nice.
He was territorial. I said, oh, what are you doing watching the game? I said, can I have one of those Sour Patch Kids? And he goes, are you going to come in and eat all my Sour Patch Kids now? What do you want? Why are you here?
It's just relax time.
Right. That's exactly what happened. Oh, it's 10 o'clock at night. This guy's going to bother me for 2 hours and eat my candy now.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here. Yeah. Anyways, I was happy to see him, actually. So we go out in the living room. We put the TV on there. We're talking for a while. All of a sudden, it's like, you know.
What time are we talking?
11:30 at night.
Yeah, it was
random.
Late.
No,
random.
Expecting no one else.
And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and Patty's looking at me, and I go, go see who it is.
Of course.
And I'm like, I'll go find a weapon somewhere real quick.
Yeah, right. Let me go get a baseball bat.
And like,
wait, what's your door situation? You got a peephole?
No, but it was at the back door.
Oh, Christ.
Up the back where the fire escape is.
Come on.
But I do have there's like a blinds where you can like peek through.
Yeah.
You know?
That's when you use the barrel of your pistol to pull the blinds
down. Yeah. But whoever did it, I was like, boy, this person's got some guts. And Patty gets up and he goes, who is it? And I was just bursting out laughing.
Did you try to say it like Eddie Murphy? Yeah, Mr. Robinson's neighborhood from Saturday
Night
Live?
No, it was just my natural instinct to just say it like that. Like,
who is it?
Who is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know. There's force behind this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm angry.
And the voice at the end of it goes, it's Tammy, my neighbor from across the way. All right. She had like locked out her boyfriend or whoever this guy is, mm-hmm. like like there's two doors. Obviously, there's the one door with the main key to get in, and then there's the screen door. Well, he locked the screen door on accident.
Oh, jeez.
And the keys were inside the door.
Come on.
Keys were inside the domicile.
Yeah. Come on, Tammy's boyfriend.
Right. Tammy's boyfriend.
Figure it out. So Tammy's boyfriend,
the hell do you do?
So, like, of course, like, he's, like, sitting there, like, a puppy dog over, like, who are, you know, because I don't think he was expecting two grown men to come out of this place all of a sudden. And
who look exactly alike.
Yeah, like,
right.
Who just knocked on our door?
And both light up a cigarette and go, what's going on? Why are you here, Tammy?
It is a horrible feeling.
And she's like, do you guys have, so we gave her, like, a knife and a scissor so she could cut her
cut
part of
screen.
Her screen and, like, stick her hand in and unlock it, which she did. And then we just sat there and I was like, God, that was so bizarre.
Yeah. I had it happen to be.
But Bill loved that. He was like, I love the force. And who is it?
Yeah.
I was like, whoever that is.
Because she kind of, it startled her, and it's meant to do.
Of course.
Right? When I do my authoritative yell.
Yeah. You're like a guard dog.
Yes.
You should have just barked.
Right. Yeah. A human
that
bark.
Like a hound.
Yeah,
that was stepped on a mouse trap.
That was like a horse that sat on itself by mistake. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I at my old house, I had a neighbor was renting, and it was a young girl and her boyfriend, and they like went out one night and got hammered.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 a.m. and I hear a knock at my door.
With you and your wife and kids?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's uncalled for.
And the guy was at the wrong house. One of the friends went to the wrong house.
Oh.
And so I saw the kid next day, and I'm like, you know, your buddy almost got like 11 bullet holes in him last night.
Yeah.
When he rang my doorbell at 2 a.m. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So
it's either.
It happens.
Well, that's why. At that hour, or a knock like that is one of two things.
It's an emergency.
An emergency or trouble.
Or a drunkard.
Yeah. One or the other.
A drunkard for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I got another drunkard at the door.
These drunkards love my doorbell, boy.
These drunkards in my doorbell. Why are they so attracted to us?
Like Pamela Anderson and her husband.
When I lived with a couple of my buddies, we used to have that kind of, like, every night.
Yeah.
You'd be like, just don't answer it.
Well, yeah, when you're living
turn
with
the
dudes,
lights, you know, like, you we know this is someone that wants
you
to call
had, like,
over.
An after bar.
In college, it was common. Yeah. You know, it'd be like,
when your
this,
place is
does
known
Tammy
as the,
live here?
The after bar spot, you're going to get a lot of random knocks.
Right.
People are like, did I leave my wallet here?
Exactly.
2 hours ago?
Two hours ago?
Yes, you did. It's in the bathroom.
But we used to get it when, like, none of us would go out. Somebody would be like, they've got to be out tonight. Got to go by their... You know,
yeah.
Like knock on our door and think that, like, you know, we had five people in there telling them to be quiet or something.
Well, it's a crazy world out there. Every knock on a door could be your last.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's like, you know, pizza boy jobs are, you know, that's why that you gotta have some guts on a pizza boy job now.
If
any
I
kind of those delivery
pizza,
jobs,
I'd have the gun out while I hand the pizza to the person. Goes easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it.
It's like handing over a bag of money, you know? All right.
Pay me.
Do you think there's any pizza guys that have their conceal
have
and carry that, like, wear
absolutely.
A holster while they're delivering the za?
Texas
like,
pizza
letting
man.
Everybody know, like, here's your pie. If you get out of hand,
now, Bill,
put one in you.
Let me just pause for a moment. Because Johnny Doritos here, and you just discovered a great idea.
Oh, a film about a pizza boy?
Chuck Norris is the
We're
going to
do
man?
A Chicago action thriller called Chicago Pizza Boy.
Ooh.
About a vigilante pizza man with a stone 45 and an axe to grind with society. All right.
So it's like Taxi Driver, only it's in Chicago.
It's like Taxi Driver, except he's a pizza boy and he's a vigilante hunter on the west side of Chicago.
Pizza delivery driver.
You know who's going to play the pizza boy?
Mark Paul Gosselier.
He's being considered. Sly Stallone has signed on.
To be the pizza boy?
Yeah, he's a little older to be a pizza boy, we've kind of written into the script that perhaps, you know, he's been at the job a long time.
I don't know if you're going to have Rocky play the pizza boy.
Give him a mohawk like De Niro in Taxi Driver?
Yeah. You know, and
I'm
a
not,
gun.
I'm not shaving a mohawk.
What about, like, Vincent
Did
D'Onofrio?
Did you order pepperoni sausage and green peppers?
And he opens up the box and there's an M16 in there?
Yeah, right.
And he just picks it up?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right.
So, in other words, you want to do Rambo as a pizza man.
That's more like it. Let's make it over the top.
Well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he's like a former, you know.
What's his name in Rambo? John what?
Like he hands a guy a meatball sub, but the meatballs are grenades.
Ew. That's the opening of it.
No, the opening.
Is it John Rambo?
Is him stirring pizza sauce with grenades in it.
Yeah. Grenades instead of meatballs?
I gotta get this ready for delivery.
Right. Gonna be a real violent night. Gotta get everybody fed, though.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's an okay idea.
Pizza boy. Well, we went down the wrong way. I think that it's a
dark.
I like where you're at.
You get into like the.
You know what? It's funny you say
it's
that.
Like it's like a taxi driver, except he's a pizza guy, delivery guy in a very rough neighborhood in Chicago, and he has a crazy night.
A crazy time.
Well, it's like one night. Yeah. Actually, it's a crazy time. It's just 7 hours in Chicago for a night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, during COVID.
In a bad neighborhood. We'll have plenty of content.
No,
to
it's
fill
all
this
over
thing with.
Chicago. So it's bad neighborhood. It's drunk yuppies.
Right.
It's aggressive hipsters.
Yeah, in the script for the pizza boy. These are all different delivery spots.
Yeah, he goes everywhere.
Right.
He's like, I can't get your break.
Everywhere he goes, somebody's getting slapped.
Yeah.
No, sometimes people get fed, you know, and he makes a new connection, and then.
So you're either getting slapped or fed
or shot.
Slapped, fed, or shot. That's the three S's. Slap. No, no. SFS. Slap, fed, shot.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Got it. You got it. Can we talk baseball?
Sure.
I'm intrigued by this guy Jack Peterson. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The French baseball player.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's a native Frenchman.
No, he's not. Jacques is his name, though.
Yes.
He's wearing this pearl necklace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing, a string of pearls.
Okay.
And I'm kind of wondering, it's a secret, though. No one knows why.
Why he wears pearls?
No.
Why? Is there supposed to be a secret behind it?
Yes. There's a reason behind it, but he's not telling anyone.
Oh. But he's just only done it for, like, what, the playoffs?
I think. Maybe the half the season or something. Maybe just the playoffs.
Because he was on the Cubs earlier this season. There were no pearls. The Chicago media would have been talking about this.
So my theory is that it's a statement about all the ridiculous gold chains that everyone's wearing.
Could be. I also know that he happens to have a brother who has special needs.
Mm.
So it might have something to do with that.
Okay.
I don't know. That's an interesting but
all I know is he's
is it annoying you?
No, it's bizarre because you've never seen it before on a baseball field and you're like, what is going
on? Oh, Mike's got something pulled up here on the Twitter.
It's a quote. The origins are the Peterson says that he saw some and he thought they looked cooler than the black or gold chains, so he got some from his jeweler and it kind of took off.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
He's a strange guy.
To each his own.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but you're right, Clay. It is kind of a statement on the amount of jewelry and bling on these guys is more it's nuts absurd. Now than it's like they're all trying to one up each other.
Yeah, you for know? Sure. They should ban it.
I don't know if they should
ban
it.
Can you imagine Mickey Mantle wearing a giant rope chain up while he's hitting?
Yes, actually, I could. You know, I mean, I think he would have been a rope chain guy. You know, he's just a guy from Oklahoma.
He was later on.
He's like, I want to get them rope chains. I think the girls like the rope chains.
Give me a bottle of whiskey
you
and a
know?
Rope chain.
Right. Hey, Billy Martin, let's get a bottle of whiskey and a rope chain.
See if things take
and
off.
And go to the Copacabana and see how the night turns out. And then we're going to wear these on the diamond tomorrow and kick some Fenway ass. You know? What do you say? Me, Whitey? Everybody at the Copa tonight, rope chains. Gotta wear them.
Hold on.
This is what, there's a guy on the Yankees in 30 years named A-Rod. He starts wearing them.
Yeah,
I don't even think A-Rod wore that much
no,
bling compared to these guys.
Jeter didn't. No. It didn't start till like 10 years ago.
It's like Julio Franco. Did he wear a lot of bling? No.
Maybe Canseco.
Ruben Sierra? I think Ruben Sierra might have worn some bling.
Oh, Ruben Sierra.
Well, the Ruben Sierra.
That's a beautiful name.
Jewelry is a cultural thing, right? You know?
I like jewelry.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like you wear rings or
I wear my wedding ring.
Well, sure.
But I like watches a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I do wear a chain.
I wear a chain and
you
I
do.
Wear a watch.
So does Bill.
So I do have a fine appreciation for jewelry.
But I can't wear nothing heavy, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I just turned into John Lennon, sorry.
Right.
I can't wear a heavy necklace this full.
That's when Yoko wanted him to get the big rope chain.
I'm not wearing a Yoko.
I can get the big rope chain.
It's fun. My dad was never a jewelry guy.
I think when I turn 70, I'm going to get a pinky ring.
I've thought about that, too.
It's going to be great.
I've thought about that, too. Like, what kind of pinky ring?
I might not even wait till 70. I might do it for Christmas.
But, like, it's just, there's not a lot of Irish guys that rock pinky rings, though.
But the ones that do, you better watch out
for. Yeah, that's the ones that do.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, none of us are pierced.
No,
I got no piercings.
Are any of you boys pierced before we proceed?
The night manager at Buns.
The night manager at Buns. Before the hose down, if any of you are pierced, Please remove all jewelry. We want to get clean for the night.
Get all your holes clean.
Right, get everything clean, and then we bring you back inside. You put the uniform on, and you slang those burgers for the next 6 hours and make that money.
Patty, can you fill in the audience on what Buns is?
Oh, yes. It's
This is the second Buns reference you've made in 2 weeks, I think.
Buns is a male Hooters-esque restaurant that exists in the Tampa, Florida area.
Well, and in the ethos of this program.
Yes.
It doesn't really exist in Tampa, right. But in our minds it does.
The Tampa of our minds.
And Tampa of our minds.
Yes. It exists in the Tampa of our minds.
Old Buns. The dark part of our brain.
Right. I'm a brand specialist for Buns. It's a restaurant in Tampa that exists in my mind. Ethos of my mind. Yeah, Buns. It's a male Hooters, you know?
Guys wear tight shorts.
Yeah, well, they have a couple of stipulations and rules in order. They're not very politically correct there. You have to be tan, you have to be completely shaven.
You gotta be hot.
And before work every day, everyone is deloused and hosed down.
In the parking lot.
But it's worth it because they make about 70 grand or 80 grand a year in cash. A day. Yeah. The guys at Buns make 70 to 80 grand a day.
I mean, the hamburgers are $65.
80 grand a day at Buns?
Yeah, it's huge.
Right. I mean, what is this guy? You'd have to serve over a million cheeseburgers.
It's 90,000 square feet, Bob.
Right. Tampa Restaurant claims they are the best employers of all time in the service industry. Male waiters at Buns make $65,000 a day. Granted, they have to work on the tan weekly, shave themselves, and they do have to subject themselves to mild humiliation through a hose down and delousing
before
work every day.
There are customers in the restaurant while they're getting hosed down.
But they've never had a complaint, and the food is rich.
They got good buffalo wings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we've talked about, but then they also, the people that own Buns own Trough in LA.
Trough is more elegant.
You know, where everybody has to eat out of a pig trough together.
Yeah, that's a concept restaurant.
That's a Hollywood concept restaurant. Trough!
And then we've had Patty Flamingos.
I was lucky enough to be at Trough last night eating out of the same trough as Steven Spielberg.
Tom Cruise, Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Courtney Love.
Glenn Close.
Jeremy Irons.
Flavor Flav.
All in the same trough. Eating...
Leftover farm animal food prepared by Wolfgang Puck.
What a scene. Can we play a bizarre song?
Sure.
This is what plays at Trough.
Yes.
Hit it.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama papa coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and roll. We'll be right back.
Bowie.
David. Yep.
David.
That was a good weird one, Clay. I don't think it's weird.
No, thank you.
Moon Age Daydream.
Take it back.
I do take it back. Welcome back, folks. Bill and I did something very exciting over the weekend, Clay.
Oh, what's that?
Our parish and the school that we attended as kids, all of us.
Yeah, I went there.
St. Luke's School in River Forest.
Yes, I know it well.
Had its centennial. It's 100th year celebration.
Right. 100 years of knuckleheads.
Where they invited all the alumni back to go for a party in the gym and a mass.
Sure.
Right? Bill and I went last minute. We weren't going to go, and then I'm like, let's go. I want to go.
What'd you wear?
I was underdressed. He's like, you don't have to get dressed up. I'm like, no, come on, I don't want to do this right now.
Did you go standard football coach attire?
No, Bill
didn't. No, jeans, Bucks, you know, shirt.
A Hustler
t-shirt with a vest on over it, you know.
The leopard vest. Like,
how do I classify my Hustler shirt? Leather vest, yes, very good.
There's probably a guy in Vegas right now with like awesome blue.
No,
he's
chain.
Got cowboy boots, awesome blue jeans on. Like, in a Hustler t-shirt with a leather vest, just ready to smoke the world, man.
Oh, yeah.
Are we done talking about Hustler?
Yes, it doesn't matter what you were wearing. So you went there, was it crowded?
I had a sport coat on.
Oh, yeah, you had a sport coat on, dress shoes. I'm like, you look very dapper. I look like a jerk.
Were you handing out business cards?
Yeah, my life is a business card, you know. I said, hey, I'm hiring at Buns, folks. Good to meet you. I have a very successful franchise.
Nice
it exists
body.
In my brain.
Hey, you got a nice body, sir. You want to work with me?
Right. Hey, what year did you get out of here? You got a nice body. You working?
You know how to serve tables?
Right? You know how to serve tables? You don't mind being hosed down before work, do you?
I'm an accountant.
Well, oh, good for you. You like numbers then, huh? God bless. That's what it felt like. Yeah, so Bill and I went back to, and they had the party in the gym. It's like $60.
How do
bucks.
The backboards look?
They're the same. It's like time has stood still.
Oh, I love that.
So, I walked around the school, though. That's definitely
you
changed.
Had access to every classroom?
Yeah, like so. Like no, I got a beer and was like, all right, I'm going to walk around a little bit. None of our trophies are up. I'm a little upset about that.
Are our old classrooms there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still in the same setup, basically?
Upstairs, yeah. The first floor is a little bit more rearranged. They have, like, preschools in the basement now.
Yeah, right.
None
of our trophies.
None of our basketball trophies
aren't they
are
in
up.
The lobby of the gym?
No.
No.
They took those all out.
No,
right?
Bill and I were like, where's our trophy? Like, it's so weird that
we're
like,
the greatest class to ever come out of this place.
Yeah.
They want to erase the memory of those juvenile delinquents.
They really do.
Everybody that goes to Luke's thinks they're the greatest class that ever got out of there.
No, but we really were.
That's what was really fun about the event, though. You know, everyone was really kind of having a good time.
Did you see a lot of old faces?
Yeah, some, but not nobody from our class. Just
oh,
Bill,
wow.
Like, two, actually, I take that back. Shout out to our friends Lizzie Murray and Susie Hostie and classmates.
Okay.
They were there. Right.
Right.
I knew they were going. That's why I wanted to go and say hello to them. I hadn't seen them in a while. But that was it. You know, none of our boys, you know, I know everybody, and it's hard to get out. So it wasn't a big turnout, plus COVID and stuff, you know.
Any
like
of
masks.
The old teachers?
No. Well, yeah, Mr. Bradiger, my seventh grade teacher, was there.
Jimmy. Yeah, sure. Hey, what up?
Good to him. God bless him. Yeah, great guy. So, yeah, there were about 150 people, maybe.
Did
actually,
fart?
I take
Did
it
you
back.
You fart in the gym?
Bill and I got there a little late. Yeah,
no.
I farted in the gym, dude. They had Creole food, you know, some of that shrimp gumbo and let out a couple of
would
trombones
they have like
in the corner.
Of those tables with the blue tablecloths
That's
on
correct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Love pulling that stunt.
But, you know, I got there and I didn't really know anybody right away. And Bill was outside smoking at the time.
Sure.
And I'm like, I guess I'll get a plate of food and sit down here.
Gumbo.
I walked in.
I did. I got
wait for these farts to roll
no,
up.
No, I got up and I was like, "Who am I going to talk to?" And there's just this old dude sitting at a table with like maybe his wife or something, you know. And I go, "Can I sit here? Mind if I sit down?" You know, and just introduce myself. How you doing, Betty Houlihan?
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Sitting there and it's real loud. You know, everyone's like, "Din!" There's like trombones playing. There's a band on stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was playing?
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean and Chicago.
Yeah, they were all there.
Wow.
But it was loud.
I didn't get near the gym.
But it was hard. You know, you try to introduce yourself. That's the only thing that I found hard. I like going to events like that and talking to the old timers.
You like going to quiet events.
I like old people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've
old people.
Yeah. I've been like that since I was a kid. I've always been attracted to older people and want to sit down and pick their brain and talk to them.
Sure.
Right? So events like that fascinate me. You know? Yeah. Like I think if I went and did like comedy or something like that at an old people's home,
you'd be all right.
I'd love it. I'd be like, you guys get it. You know, you get the jokes. you know?
Right.
I can't even make pop culture references now from my generation. My daughter has no idea what I'm talking about half the time.
Yeah.
You know?
She's cooler than you.
You know, well, they don't get my comedy.
Oh.
You know? I'm a little...
Whose fault is that?
It's mine. It's the world. You know, my perspective of the worldview is fading.
That's why you're moving to Mars soon.
That's why I'm opening up bonds, you know? I got to figure out a couple of different streams of revenue.
And you know, we got to make Chicago Pizza
Boy. The old people home comedy circuit just ain't cutting that anymore.
Open a buns in the basement of an old people's home.
That's what I'm going to do.
Combine your loves.
I'm going to start opening bunses in the
first floors
of retirement communities.
Well, like they're going to be like little windows where it's just like three hot guys serving burgers. Cheeseburgers, though.
Three hot senior citizens.
Yeah,
in their underwear. Serving hamburgers. Now that's a concept.
Right. You know? They're playing Frank Sinatra music in the background and, you know, classify it up a little bit. I hate it when...
Start spreading the news?
Right.
I hate it when Vito manages. We have to listen to Tony Bennett all night.
Well, that's too bad that there wasn't a bigger turnout at that thing. I thought it was going to be jam-packed.
They ran out of beer.
Well, that doesn't help.
No.
But there were some wonderful people that went out on a little beer run.
It's cool just to walk
around
the school again. That's got to be
nice. Yeah, that was cool. I was looking. Our graduation class photo is, they have them in Waldron Hall, which is the basement of the school where we used to eat lunch.
I know it.
So it's on the north wall. All the graduation pictures are like hanging up from all the classes.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It was nice. It was really nice, actually. And
I thought maybe they'd have like a, you know, a picture of me taking a jump shot in 1993 or something like that.
Trying to Billy. Yeah.
There's no pictures of me taking any jump shots.
Like kind of like a, you know, like a picture of like how Jordan is when he goes back to the United Center.
Yeah, none of that. There should be a huge bronze statue of you doing a finger roll.
A finger roll with a smoke out of my mouth.
And a bag of Doritos in your back pocket.
Sure, why not?
And a Salem t-shirt.
You're right, Bill. You're right. Anyway, it was a good time, and we had a blast.
We were just talking about, like, because Clay even mentioned, you know, you want to go back to your glory days, right? You always want to, like, think that they're...
Not everybody, Bill, but I know that you think about that stuff.
Clay outside's like, dude, I ran into Danny Smith from Ferdinand's when we were growing up. He's got a grammar school basketball tape of us.
VHS.
I'm like, oh, God, I got to get my hands on this thing.
You know what VHS stands for? Very hard to see. I don't have a VCR.
Yeah.
I mean, like, where could we, what do you think we could go get that converted for? Like,
I'm not going through all that. I'd rather just
buy
a VCR.
I'll go spend $200 to get that tape converted.
Spend $30 on a VCR and bring it over.
Do people have picture albums in their house anymore? Like, because that's essentially where you're getting at. My daughter loves picture albums, going through people's houses and going through their but like, is that going to exist in 20 years? You know,
my
it doesn't
kids,
even
my
exist.
My boys have baseball card albums.
But I remember my mom as kids making picture albums of like what we did for the year. Of pictures, you know?
Yeah.
Now we just have iPhones. You lose your iPhone, you're
right.
Tanked.
If you're not in the cloud,
then you got to start making picture albums. You got to print out all the pictures that are on your iPhone and then put them in a book and then never look at it.
There you go. What great advice, Clay.
But you can give it to your grandchildren.
Mick Jagger for picture albums only at Walgreens. Take pictures of your kids and print them out and put them in albums.
You put photos in here.
Be old school.
Buy a camera, too.
Right.
Aisle 8.
No.
All right, we're hurting now. We're going to take a commercial break. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Yep.
Appropriate song.
I think that was our eighth grade thing.
Glory days. 1994.
Yeah. Right. Do you guys have a theme for the graduation this year? How about Glory Days?
I remember I suggested Today by Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, it's a song about suicide.
Yeah, that got thrown right in the gutter.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I think I wanted Mother 93 by Danzig.
Oh, that would have been sweet. I would have punched my locker.
Do you want to bang heads with me?
You boys ready for the old Halloween?
Yes, I am. Mike, cue up the Danzig. We're going to go out with that tonight.
Okay. Are you, you got a Halloween party to go to, eh, Billy boy?
I was invited to one. I don't know if I'm attending. I'm playing golf on Saturday afternoon.
Mm. And that's the predictor of how your
should play golf
dress up's going to go?
Jason.
Well, yes.
No.
Huh?
I'm playing golf with O'Rourke, Flannery, and Walsh.
Oh, shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
Ah, very Irish crew.
Yeah. Haven't seen those guys in quite some time, so it should be a few laughs. So that's why I don't know if I'll be making it to a Halloween party. I might be ready to go to bed after the end of our session. Yes.
So you think there will be some libations during the afternoon?
I don't know yet.
You'll be walking sideways up a wall.
It's gonna be. It's only supposed to be like 55. So I think we're gonna play 18. The weather will take a lot out of me. I should be tired by the end of it. You know, and be
we're
like,
a park.
So anyway, what's the party you got invited to? If you do decide to go.
Our friend Heather Burns is having a Halloween party.
Oh, it's an 80s party, isn't
no,
it?
No. No. She has an 70s? 80s party as well in like 2 weeks.
Oh.
She likes to throw lots of parties.
This is just a your old costume party.
This is like her annual Halloween thing. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I think it's Heather's party.
I haven't gotten a costume yet. I don't know what I'm going to be. I could be Putin again if I want to be.
I will be Putin again.
If I have to, I'll be Putin again. I do own the mask.
I don't know what to do, Caroline.
Right. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to be. Halloween's on a Sunday this year.
It's okay. I'll be a priest.
I saw an Elvis suit at a Goodwill, but that's probably sold by now.
Maybe I'll be a killer priest.
A killer priest? Sure.
There's a rapper named Killer Priest.
I bet there is.
Yeah, check him out. He's good.
I will. You got any Killer Priest on the rotation? He's pretty good. He's no rapper.
Should have said that to the DJ, to the band at the St. Luke's Centennial.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are wonderful. You know any tunes by Killer Priest by chance?
Petty Houlihan.
He's new. Oh, a little too contemporary for you. I'm sorry.
Petty Houlihan,
Petty Houlihan, class of 94. How are you?
Sport coat owner.
Yeah, sport coat owner in class of 94. Balding.
Balding sport coat owner.
Owner of Jeff.
Yeah, what do you have to say about yourself?
Former owner of Jeff.
How have I been? I went bald. I bought a sport coat and I lost it too. But other than that, happy 100 years. Happy to be here.
Listen to a lot of Killer Priest.
You're a millionaire. God bless. Very well. Yeah.
Oh, really? You founded Google. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a little radio show. Where's my 8th grade basketball trophy? Is that around?
Can I see it?
Right.
Can I touch it?
Yeah.
The one thing about that, Clay, was I didn't drink at that party at all.
Congratulations.
And that makes it literally, like, I'm living hell. No, but I am starting to learn how to socialize without having the itch to want to have to booze anymore.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
It is, but you know what I do like about it? You kind of know when to just cut it off.
The great thing is
okay, I've seen everybody, I've talked to everybody, time to go.
Yeah, you just go like this, hold on 1 second, and then you walk directly to your car.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Just do the Irish goodbye?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a beautiful feeling.
We're near the end. It's been a fun week. If you've enjoyed the last hour, you can go to Hibernian Radio, listeners, hibernianradio.org, or you can go to iTunes and search for Hooley's Show, H-O-L-E-Y. Mm. We're on iHeartRadio and a bunch of other things. We're also streaming on Global Irish Radio in Ireland.
All over the world.
So check that out. You can check that out online as well. Do want to thank the sponsors, always, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Beverly Pizza, Flood Brothers Disposal, Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you.
Yeah.
And the International Association of Firefighters Local Union 2. Until next week.
Turn it up.
Ooh, it's Glenn Danzig and Danzig taking us out with Mother.
See ya.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother.